This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. It's spring in the Northern Hemisphere, and you know what that means? The robins are back, the geese, and all the other birds are migrating back from their winter feeding grounds. But along the way, as many as 2,400 of them could meet an untimely end by hitting airplanes this year. That's how many bodies my next guest received between April and June in her lab last year. Yes, Carla Dove collects bodies of birds. Well, she actually collects the remains. Sometimes they're just the feather fragments and smashed tissue. The technical term is snarge. And that's right. My next guest deals with the casualties of bird-plane collisions, trying to identify what species they once were, because airlines, the military, and others want to know what species are most likely to fly in front of a plane. Maybe we can use that knowledge to prevent those species from hanging out near airports, or at least build aircraft that can withstand those collisions. Behind the scenes of all this is Carla Dove, a forensic ornithologist and program manager of the Feather Identification Lab at the Smithsonian here in Washington. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before everybody does it, let me ask you about...
Yes, that's my name.
Working with birds. Do you have a no special love for the dove or the pigeon or
yes.
that family?
Well, actually, the only time that ever became a specific problem was when I was trying to decide on what project to work on for my PhD thesis. And my advisor said, whatever you do, you cannot select the family Columbidae with doves and pigeons because you'll never live it down.
Well, but Dr. Dove fits right in.
Yeah, that's the way they remember my name. So whatever works.
That's what I say, you know. Is your work anything like CSI ornithology? I mean, you collect. How did you come up with that name? What is it?
The snarge?
The snarge.
Oh, yeah. Well, snarge is a term that we have always used at the museum and the prep lab where we skin birds. And we have a lot of bird ick laying on the table. And so when we started working on bird strike identifications, that was sort of a natural word to use for that case. It's bird ick. Snarge came from the prep lab at the Smithsonian, but we sort of claimed it as our term now.
So it's forensic. What does that mean?
It is in a way. I mean, it's not technically forensic because we don't do law enforcement cases, but we do use forensic techniques. And so we look at the trace evidence, we look at the microscopic characters, the DNA, the circumstantial evidence to solve our puzzle, which is ultimately the identification of the species of bird.
So if you're going to identify them, then you must keep samples of birds to match with.
Yes.
How many birds are in your collection?
Well, actually, we are located right upstairs in the National Museum of Natural History at the Smithsonian in the bird division. And the bird division was founded way before there were ever airplanes flying. And so we are just a user of that huge collection there. But that is our resource and our research collection. So we have somewhere around 620,000 museum specimens up there in the drawers.
Wow.
We represent about 85% of the diversity of birds of the world, and so it is an ideal place to conduct this kind of research.
So how many birds actually get hit by planes or vice versa?
Yeah, that's right. The birds aren't actually flying into the planes. It's not their fault. But we, you know, every year our lab identifies over 9,000 cases. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show that we do about 2,400 in spring migration. But totally for the year, it's over 9,000 samples that we receive. Now, we don't receive all of the samples. So there are somewhere around 13,000 bird strikes reported to civil aviation and another 4,000 to 5,000 from the military. So it's quite a few birds every year.
So who picks up these samples? How does a sample get to you?
Yeah, it's taken some time, but we've got people trained in the field now. The military has a bird aircraft strike hazard team that will pick up the remains. The civil aviation have biologists on the airports that pick up remains and send them to us.
And so how often do you have a completely unsolved mystery? Lot of times?
No, not really. We have great tools to do the work. So we have DNA and we have microscope analysis, and we also use whole feathers. And so about 98% of the time we get it to some level.
Wow.
You know, we say it's a duck, but we can't say it's a mallard or pintail. And a few times, if it's just a piece of black feather with no characters or no pattern or no microscopic diagnostic characters, then we just have to say it's a bird.
How small a piece of feather do you need? And what part?
Well, sometimes we can do it with a single, just a single barb from the fluffy part of the feather, and that's the base of the feather, the part of the feather that is responsible for insulation and keeping the bird warm. That's where the real diagnostic characters are located. So we need that part, but we don't need very much.
If somebody sends you some snarge, let's say, and you analyze it, do you ever say, hey, this isn't a bird? I got somebody sent me something. What is it?
Well, if we get that, somebody's going to get an earful. Because we, you know, we are very serious about what we do. We don't want people sending us jokes, but we do get things that are interesting, that are valid.
Tell me.
Like fish. And
fish?
Yeah. And deer. And
wait. Back up. How does a deer get on a plane? And don't say they buy a ticket.
We do get snakes, too.
How?
Well, the interesting thing is, and it all turns out to be pretty much the same story, is it's usually a bird was either feeding on that animal or the bird was carrying it in its talons, and it just, you know, when it hits the plane, everything goes everywhere, and that's the part of the sample that we receive. And so, yeah.
Interesting. I know that your team worked on the aftermath of that crash that led to the so-called miracle on the Hudson, the plane that landed in the river. Was it any mystery that the plane had hit geese, though? I mean,
well, that's a good question, because they did. The pilot, I think, reported geese, and they did think that's what it was, right, initially in the very beginning of the investigation. We had to confirm that for several reasons. One reason is that there is another bird that looks very similar to a Canada goose in New York called a brant, and that bird weighs significantly less. It's a 3 to 4 pound bird. And the engines on that aircraft were designed to take a 3 to 4 pound bird and keep on functioning. And so the engineers were very concerned in that case about what the exact species of bird was to get the weight, the average weight on that. And so when we decided and determined it was Canada goose, they were relieved to know that an 8 pound bird, a 10 pound bird, is not supposed to go through their engines and keep on, and the engine's not supposed to keep on working. So that was part of it. And then, you know, we want to know the exact species. So, as you said in the beginning of the program, so that we can know what that bird eats and why is it there and when is it there and what potential problems could it cause. And then you can go out onto the airfield and do something.
What do you do? If you know there's a bird hazard, what can you do at an airport?
There's a lot of things that you can do. You know, there are border collies that keep certain birds away. There are peregrine falcons or other falcons that can be trained. Sometimes it's as simple as cutting the grass.
So you take away their nesting.
You take away, you know, if they wanted to have a flat area where they can go and look around and see predators coming their way, and let the grass grow a little bit, and they don't feel comfortable there anymore.
Just the opposite.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you know, there's tall grass and there's lots of little mice and different kinds of rodents burrowing around in there, and the hawks are going to come to hunt and feed there. So you have to know the problem on the specific airfield, and that's where the species identification comes in.
Now, I know you've been doing this for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed a change at all in the patterns of bird strikes or anything over time?
Yes, we have. And that's also another interesting question, because now we're seeing things, some distributions of birds are changing. And for example, the black vulture used to be a bird that was always in the south and never really got that far north. And now more and more we're seeing those in bird strikes from northern states. And so over time, bird distributions change. We don't know why or what's the cause of it, but we can just see those kinds of things in our data.
Does anybody, they know that you're a forensic ornithologist who deal with birds. Does anybody ever send you stuff that may have a bird in it? Wants an identification of what, you know, maybe it's an animal has swallowed it or something like that.
Yes, we worked on a project, and in fact, we're still involved in it, with Everglades National Park biologists on identifying the prey remains of the Burmese python. And so the pythons are wreaking havoc down there. They're non-native species, and they're eating birds. And of course, you know, once you get the stomach contents of a Burmese python, it's not going to be the most pleasant thing you want to see in the morning.
I'll bet.
But the snake DNA will overtake the sample, and so it's very difficult to get DNA from material
That's
like that. And so we're using the morphological characters of the bones and the feathers and the microscopic characters of the feathers to help us determine the species that they're eating.
Let me see if I get a quick call in from Dylan in California. Hi, welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm in the Air Force, and so I've actually sent some samples to Carla as part of the safety team. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for your work.
Thank you.
And then, so my question was, with the samples that we sent in were international, and I was wondering how long those take to get to you guys and if they have any smells or anything weird by the time they get to you.
Mm. Thank you.
Almost all of them have some kind of smell. But
getting
yes.
through customs, they have to go through customs?
Oh, they have to go through customs, and we have to have all kinds of special permits to, you know, to allow them to export and us to import, and they have to be treated so that we're not importing diseases or different kinds of viruses. So all of that procedure has been worked out, but it does take a little bit longer for us to get samples from overseas, and we do realize that the Air Force has a 30-day turnaround time, so we do try to put those up to the head of the line.
Do you get a call from an airport, let's say like JFK, which has a lot of stuff, and says, we don't know what this is, but it may be heading, it may be for you, because we've sent other bird stuff to you.
Yes,
come and
we
pick
do.
It up. You
yeah,
know?
They definitely give us a heads up, especially if they're sending something priority that has caused damage or something that they would really like to know about. JFK is very good about reporting bird strikes.
Well, they certainly live in the neighborhood.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a sanctuary there. Thank you, Dr. Dove.
Thank you.
Dr. Carla Dove, Program Manager of the Feather Identification Lab. I'll bet you never knew they had one until today at the Smithsonian Institution here in Washington.